Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Halitsum, the Catesy, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tawasin, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve. You might remember me from 8 months ago.
He's been keeping out of groups, so we haven't had him around as much, but we're glad I've got him for this episode at least.
Yeah, happy to be back.
We're hiding in a secret location because this isn't one of those legal drinking in the park spots. It's not a park anyways, though, is it? I don't know.
I think so. It's actually two parks.
You can actually hear the SkyTrain in the background, so, you know, if you hear a train drink... All right. Well, this is going to be an episode where we cover some beers from the Okanagan. We've got two beers from Slackwater Brewing. We've got a beer from Kettle River Brewing. And then the newest in the Penticton area, Neighborhood Brewing.
And really
Neighborhood,
excited.
Yeah, Neighborhood was opened up by the owner of Yellow Dog Brewing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that, and I totally forgot.
So... we're going to start out with a beer from Slackwater Brewing. This is their Althea Hibiscus Blonde Ale. It is 5% alcohol, and it's part of their Catch and Release series. And it's got a really pretty black and white, have to guess it's a hibiscus flower on it.
I would guess. It would be weird if it was something else.
Liam, let me know. Man, this beer is... gorgeous. It's got this like really, really nice, like
really pink almost like grapefruit juicy color.
But it looks it's as opaque as a New England IPA. It's super thick, pink, sort of
surprisingly slightly, white head.
Yeah, pretty damn on point white head, which you'd expect a little bit of color to bleed through.
Not a lot of nose on it though. Like, a little bit, but it's mildly floral. It doesn't pop on the nose too much.
Yeah, it's a little bit fruity on the nose, probably from the hibiscus. Mm. I'm trying to see if it says anything about ingredients. No, it doesn't. It's interesting, too, as a blonde ale, I've often seen hibiscus in wheat beers.
Yeah, or lagers, interestingly.
Or lagers, that'd be interesting, too, yeah. Quite grainy.
Yep, I'm getting... it's definitely got that blonde malt backbone that I expect. It's an interesting play because it... normally when I do a hibiscus beer, I do expect the hibiscus to be very forward. That's why you see it in a lager or something lighter.
Yeah.
And this adds an interesting balance to it. I kind of like that.
Yeah, because it's definitely... there is hibiscus in the background. It is prominent, but it's still more the blonde ale than it is the hibiscus, really.
Yeah, it's much more a note adding on to a pretty good blonde ale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Slackwater is definitely becoming one of my favorite breweries in the Okanagan region these days. They've just come out guns a-blazing with really, really good beers. And I was there during COVID times, and they've done a really good job of spacing out the tables and making you feel safe. They've got a patio when it's not horrible out, although it was pretty ugly when I was there, so we did hide inside.
We are heading into that time.
Yeah, we are. Well, since you've been away from the show, have you had any interesting beers over the last 8 months that you can remember?
You know, I should have prepped a little bit.
I should have asked you about that.
Because... honestly, I've been trying to keep it real local, trying to do... early on, we were doing a lot of the beer deliveries that came out, the drop on the doorstep. And as things have gotten a little better, we've been doing a lot of pickup from locals.
Nice.
So been keeping it really to Steel and Oak, Trading Post, passed by Moody and Parkside a while ago.
Nice.
Oh, just going past my brother's. So yeah, I'm... actually, the beers I brought for our next episode were Steve's first foray into a beer store in 8 months. And, ooh, what's new? So
what's this pretty?
So you'll see that. You'll hear that next episode. And so those are actually going to be the most interesting things I've drunk in a while.
Nice.
No shade on all the standards I've been buying, because I've been keeping it to some favorites lately have been Steel and Oaks. Simple Things Lager has been just a real nice, like, end of the night. I want a half glass to share with my wife. I have Simple Thing. Their Red Pilsner has been a really nice dinner beer.
Nice.
And their Royal City Ale has been a real good sipper.
Yeah, that's always a good one to go back to. It's really easy drinking. A little more flavor than the lager, which I'm not a big fan of because there's not enough flavor for me.
Fair.
But the Royal City Ale is great.
Yeah, so I've been keeping it down to like the classics from Steel and Oak for the last little bit. I'm real excited to when we can share that Moody Ales Russian Imperial Stout vertical I've got going.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
I should pick up the 2020 that is so that or 2021. Wherever the next one is.
Whatever. I don't even know. I was actually in the area today, and I'm like, do I stop by and see if it's out yet?
Soon, probably.
Yeah, I haven't been as active on social media these days, so I don't really know what's going on that way. Yeah, our 2021 or 2022 episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, originally it was supposed to just be a 5-year. And then when COVID hit and I had already been like, do I see if we can get like a pre-Trump to post-Trump vertical? Like, is that tempting fate? I don't know.
I hope it's possible and I hope it's soon.
Dear God, I hope so.
Yeah, this is just an easy, easy sipping beer.
Yeah, it's real nice. It's got enough interest that you're not just sort of mindlessly chugging it. Or you take a sip, get a nice little pop of hibiscus, think about the malt a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty nice, easy drinking and blonde.
And for people that don't like the lighter beers, like, don't be scared by this because it's got a lot of flavor going on.
Yeah, this is not in any way a lightly flavored beer. This has definitely got body. That's actually the thing we should point out is that it's got mouthfeel and heavy weight to it. Surprisingly, a surprising amount of it for a blonde, actually.
I'm almost wondering if they might have put a little bit of oat in this just
wouldn't
to get
be surprised.
That.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But like I said, there's nothing on the label that tells you that.
It doesn't have that creaminess I would associate with oat, though.
Yeah, here we go. This is the most information it gives you. Floral, refreshing, fruity.
Well, they're not wrong.
No, they're not. But it's not very helpful.
Not so much, no. Yeah, I'd get that again.
So would I. When he at first just mentioned it was a blonde ale, I'm like, okay, but then it was like hibiscus, and I'm like, that reminds me of one of my very first beer fests with Steve.
Yeah,
when Dockside Restaurant and Brew Pub, which is like a friggin' high end restaurant, they have a little brewery there, and they were making a hibiscus, some kind of ale, and we really liked it back then.
I think it's a lager, but I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Or they still it's still seasonal in summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they still have it.
I never end up in that place anymore.
We go there for, like, anniversary dinners.
Okay.
So every once in a while, I'll get the hibiscus and think back to the before times when we didn't know what craft beer was.
Yeah, exactly. Is it still any good?
It's not as good as I remember, but it's actually not bad.
It's funny how you can go back and look at beers you used to really, really like, and it's like, oh, what was I thinking? That was okay.
It's a touch one note. It's a touch kind of like it's gimmicky. It's really it's forward on the hibiscus to be like, look, we have hibiscus back from a time when that was a weird ingredient.
Yeah, and no shit.
So it's a little lacking these days, but it's still not a bad beer.
Yeah.
And it's really nice as a sipper looking out over False Creek, and wouldn't not recommend it, but not sure you should trek all the way out just to try it.
Yeah, no, if you're on the island, check it out.
Yeah, give it a shot. try the smoked salmon penne when you're there too. It's amazing.
That could be interesting.
It's good.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, you say it's just a gimmick, but it's not a big surprise anymore. Nowadays, when you've heard of, like, crab and beer and...
Exactly.
You know, like, oyster stouts aren't even weird anymore for most people.
Beard yeast.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, meh. Or throwing whole pies into a friggin' mash tun.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's nothing nowadays. But yeah, back then it was like, what?
Whoa, we put flowers in beer. Yes.
And this was a long time ago.
Yeah,
this was before I was really a craft beer drinker, even.
No, I mean, this was before I met Sarah, so that must be, like, that's over 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. What was that festival called again? It was put on by Just Here for the Beer Radio.
It might have been
the name of the festival, actually, Just Here for the Beer.
Was it the one, where was it?
I think it originally was out at UBC or something, and then they moved it out to Swangard Stadium in Burnaby.
Right, yeah. No, the Great Canadian Beer Fest.
No, that's Victoria.
What was it called? Damn it. No, you're right. Yeah, because I remember, it was out in the field at T-Bird.
Yeah, Thunderbird Stadium, yeah.
And then they moved it to Swangard a few years ago.
Well, it's been a long time since that ran, but the last couple years were out at Swangard.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was fun.
Back in the day.
Heat stroke and drunk. Woo! Yeah.
It's the kind of festival we probably wouldn't enjoy anymore, but back then it was epic.
Yeah. Just go into every tent, try a taster of every beer, and see how many you could pound down.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
The old days.
No, I mean, when we get past this whole pandemic bullshit, I'm going to try and hit up the... Wow, my memory's shot today. What's the one in Victoria?
Great Canadian.
That's the Great Canadian.
Yeah, that's the Great Canadian.
And I want to go do that again.
I just want to do all the things again.
Well, yeah.
All the people I've been missing, all the people that you usually shake hands or hug, and it's just been like 6 to 8 feet away. Hey.
I know. Like, I'm 6 feet away from you. I want to give you a goddamn hug.
We're actually more than six, I think.
Well, I'm sure we are, but...
All right, why don't we get the next beer going here?
All right.
Where should we move here? Do you want to move to the next beer from Slackwater then?
Yeah, let's keep both the Slackwaters together. You said it was a New England IPA, I think? Man, nice head on that.
All right. This is What the Fog New England IPA. This one has a little more writing, too. It's a pretty can. It's got lots of... It looks like the sunset on a night when you've got forest fire smoke because it's nice and red and pink.
Well, we've got lots of experience with that.
Yeah. So it says, let this big, bright IPA be the light to guide you through the fog. A rich, pillowy, soft oat body is punched up by Citra and Eldorado hops that'll leave your taste buds in blissful haze. 6.8% alcohol, and that's everything there. It's not as, it's not like murky, hazy. It's just kind of cloudy.
No, it looks like stage beer from the 80s, like what you'd see on Cheers.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Pours real nice. It's got a coarse white head, but it's really got good fluff on it.
Nice and pillowy. It's sticking around. It's not disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Good lacing, even on my little outdoor plastic glass.
We should take a picture of the gold rim glass I got from the dollar store for this.
Absolutely will.
But yeah, nice lacing. Good carbonation, you can see. Nice on the nose. Little fruity, little floral.
It's definitely got some citrusy things going on.
Mm-hmm. Like you can smell a touch of malt, but not too much.
Maybe some stone fruit, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a little stone fruit, a little apricot or something.
Mm-hmm. Lots of stone fruit on the flavor, and then a good citrus punch.
Interesting. Like, that did not taste the way I expected it to off the nose. Like, it started in with, like, just bitter herbal hop, and then went straight into, like, mixing with stone fruit. I got a good peach apricot thing. That's real nice. I like the dichotomy.
Lots of juicy flavor. Little tiny bit of bitterness in the background. Not a lot, but just enough to kind of balance it out so it's not ultra sweet like a milkshake IPA.
Yeah, it's interesting on the second, third sip. You don't get that burst of bitter that I felt on the first go. And now it's settling into a little more traditional New England IPA. It's a little juicy, a little fruity. Can't pick it down to like specific flavors. I'm not getting like particularly a little bit apricot, but not like particular fruits. Just very generally fruity.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not bad. Like, I like it.
And then this can is not like amazingly fresh because it's been a little while since I've been to the Okanagan.
Fair enough.
But it's been harder and harder to do these tasting episodes in person. So I've been waiting for a chance.
I appreciate that.
And this time you lucked out.
I did, yes.
But I mean, I like a little more mouthfeel with a lot of my New Englands. Mm-hmm. But this is still really, really easy to drink, really flavorful.
Actually, you know, if you hadn't mentioned that there was oat in it, I'm not sure I would have noticed.
Yeah, because it doesn't have that mouthfeel and murk that you get from the oats usually.
Right, and I'm not sure if that's just coming off the heels of that weirdly heavy blonde.
I think it's partially, it depends on the yeast. Sometimes they flocculate. Sometimes you do everything the way it should be and it just clears up.
Yeah, no, I'm not bad, but it doesn't really have like what I would expect out of an oat beer.
Yeah.
Like I do expect, again, that creamy mouthfeel. I expect some weight to it.
Yeah, just like you get with an oatmeal stout. It's got the body, and the same with New England IPAs, right?
Yeah. Not sure I'm getting a lot of oat flavor, but then again, in New England IPA, I wouldn't expect that. I'd expect it to be all fruit, all juice.
Yeah, yeah. The oat's just usually giving you body and everything.
Yeah, that's like
and alcohol.
Well, I mean, like this is kind of the perfect setting. We should post some pictures of just like the canopy of trees we're under, because like, you know, we're sitting under trees, sunset starting. This is a nice sipper for like just enjoying sunset with a friend in a park. Like, not sure I would come back to this one as like for interest to like sit and sit with, but I would bring this to a park and just enjoy an evening.
Should have brought my camera with the tripod. Where's our photographer when we need it?
Well, Sarah's at home, but yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're both sitting here in silence just sipping the beer. Or I don't have a whole lot to say about it, but I'm kind of enjoying just, like, the whole in a park sipping a nice beer thing.
Yeah, not causing any trouble.
No, we're in Coquitlam.
Maybe we'll go to Neighborhood next.
Sounds good. I'm excited to try them out.
I think this can is probably one of the ones that might have still been produced down here.
Oh, okay.
Because they were producing some stuff at Yellow Dog while they got it open.
Right. So,
I'm not sure. It'll say on the can, I think, where it was made.
Okay.
All right. The next beer is from Neighborhood Brewing. It's the Way of Life Hazy IPA. It's 6.9% alcohol. And work hard and play harder. This juice bomb boasts of bold citrus and Amarillo hops for the big notes of papaya, pineapple, and Mandarin Orange, built from the ground up to focus on aroma and a luxurious mouthfeel. It is a taste extravaganza. It is a way of life.
Oh, poor as hazy as I'll get out.
Yeah, this one looks New England for sure.
It's the nosiest beer we've had so far. Like, I get the papaya
It's none of your business, beer. Yeah, definitely. You get the papaya and stone fruit, kind of slightly tropical.
Very much, and like there is a little bit of like a barn floor thing going just underneath, like a nice little touch of funk. I don't know if that's what they're going for, but ooh,
yeah, that's got that super thick body that you expect from the New England IPA.
Yeah,
but that papaya and stuff just punches you in the face,
right? Like this is juicy. This is nice. I can pick out fruit. I do get the papaya. I get the pineapple. Well, there's a bit of like almost like, I guess, peach, probably.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of like, there's a bit of malt just to make sure it's not just one note, which is nice.
It's burpy.
Yeah, the carbonation is something else. That it poured with quite the head, and it's still around.
Yeah, I've got some nice lacing from this beer, too.
Kind of nice. It starts to bitter a little as you take some sips. You start to get that little bit of herbal backbone that means you're just not sipping on sweet the entire time. It's yeah. It's a nice change, actually, and one I don't see very often.
Yeah, no, it's nice and balanced. It's more pithy than it is bitter, really.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That it's more like you're getting orange pith or grapefruit pith than actually bitter.
Yeah, it's on the sweeter side of the spectrum, which is what you want with a style of beer. It's not like a milkshake IPA.
No
lactose, but it's definitely tons of fruit flavor.
Yeah, and yeah, it's beautifully balanced, and which is something that you don't get a lot in New England's. Like a lot True. Of New England's just go in for fruit. And this comes out with a real nice sort of sweet, bitter, pithy balance that I'm really enjoying.
And again, like, you know, 6.9% alcohol, I think I said, and you don't taste any alcohol in this at all.
No, not in the least.
It's like sparkling fruit juice.
It is. It'll get you drunk.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to have to pick some of this up. I want a few more of these.
I got this. I actually think I got this.
Whoa. Hello.
I think I got this beer out at Jack's Liquor.
Okay.
I don't know if they still have it. The one, Great Bear or whatever. The one in Burnaby here on Kingsway.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's where I got the neighborhood stuff, actually, was down here.
Mm. Yeah. I might go check them out, see if they've got any hanging around still.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do because Yellow Dog makes some really solid beers. I don't find that Yellow Dog has enough seasonals for me. They seem to be the same beers a lot of the time. Fair. Solid beers.
Yeah, like,
but
real
I'm,
good.
I'm a squirrel when it comes to beer. It's the puppy was like, squirrel. You know, it's like, I want something new all the time. And
I actually really appreciate Yellow Dog as a winter brewery. Like, not for seasonals. I agree, they don't have too many. Maybe a couple. Well, I really kind of appreciate sort of their... The community that's there when
yeah.
I, you know, in the before times when you could just walk in.
I've been joking that it's BC before COVID.
Yes, we're just going to start from one again.
Yeah. That we should.
And, but I kind of appreciate that they're like, we do these beers, we do them well, and you're going to keep coming back for them, and everybody's going to hang out in a cool space.
Yeah.
I think I really like that vibe, and it's, I don't know, it speaks to me. I like it.
Well, here we go. It could be BCT before COVID times and ACT after COVID times.
And then there's the between times.
Yes. Dark ages.
Yes.
The no hug ages. The horror.
All right. So we also have from Kettle River Brewing.
That's in Kelowna.
Yep. The Nuclear Splash New England Style IPA. Tropical hop flavor to blow your mind. Let's see. Nuclear Splash NE IPA.
New England, yeah.
Yes, of course. Nuclear Splash New England IPA. A big bomb of tropical hop fruit, aroma, and flavor straight into your glass. This hazy shade of fruit juicy delight will blow your taste buds away. Mild bitterness with a full mouthfeel makes for a rich, tasty, easy-drinking IPA. Everyone's going crazy for the hazy. You should, too. Comes in at 5.0 ABV, actually. Yeah, and they also tell you it's a 0.004373 hectoliter tall boy.
I love that, actually.
I kind of like that.
Oh, jeez.
And they just tell you a little here. Kettle River Brewing. We are a small batch neighborhood brewery in Kelowna's North End. Trying to keep it simple, we brew delicious beer in the back of house and serve it fresh to you in the front. And these cans are so you can let the good times roll when you can't visit us or when it's closing time. Which, yeah.
That's about right.
Whoever's writing their copy is actually real good.
Yeah. When they first opened up, they actually built their brewery from the ground up. Like, it was all homemade equipment and everything. I forget what the barrels. They were using, like, these big open-top barrels for their fermenters. It was all built by one of their partners. And since then, they've upgraded, and they've got a much more larger brew system now. But,
Well, I just put, like, 3 inches of head on this thing, so I think you got a little shaken up on getting this in here.
Yeah, she is active. It's funny because when you opened it, it didn't explode out of the can at all.
No, not at all. I mean, I did a really bad pour, so like this is on me. Not
I didn't, and I still got a ton ahead. Wow. I have to wait a second here.
I'm not sure I can get to beer at this point. Again, I did a really bad pour. Like, I had the glass just flat on the table and poured straight in. So this is on me. But
well, what can we get out of it now? I mean, it's definitely murky as hell.
Yep.
Orange, big, big, fluffy white head.
Yeah, with retention. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, friggin' thing.
Does come off on the nose real nice. It's got a pithiness that I'm hoping speaks to some balance as well. But it's got a real peachy nectarine-y nose to it.
Mm-hmm. Trying to agitate it up to get it to come out a little more.
Oh, that is nice. Like real stone fruit, a lot heading towards nectarine.
Nectarine and peach, like big time.
Yeah, like real specific. And it's got a pithy backbone.
Yeah.
I mean, that may be coming off the last one, but I think it's in this beer.
Yeah, I think this one has a little more pith than the last one.
Right, like it, when you take that second sip, it's really in there that you get that. Like I bit the wrong part of the fruit. It tastes a little bit, but it goes
not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way. Like it goes real well with that, like super like perfectly fresh nectarine tasted that it comes with.
Yes, you know it's sweet, but a little bit drying at the same time.
Yep. Yeah. Depending.
Easy drinking.
Yeah, depending on what you want to focus on, this actually has some pucker factor, or it's just sweet. But you can sort of focus either way.
It's not tart or sour really, but it's just from the fruit.
Yeah,
you know the fruit flavors are kind of reminiscent of that tartness or pucker that some like sort of stone fruits and citrus give you.
Yeah, it's almost like pairing nectarine with an overzested lemon.
Yeah.
But really, really good. Like, I really like this one. This might be my favorite of the batch so far.
Nice. But, like, we're drinking it here, and the beer, we're getting the beer, but the head's staying in the glass, and it's really holding on. It's nuts.
Yeah, it really doesn't want to go away. Actually, again, really nice mouthfeel to it. Like, super round and... Mike, okay, I got to picture this. Mike has his glass upside down, and the head will not fall out.
That was fucking weird.
Yeah, I think this beer is like the definition of having legs.
Long legs. All right. Well, that's it for the Okanagan, but I got a bonus beer. I was up at A-Frame Brewing in Squamish just this last weekend. Although, I don't know when this is going to air, so... Recently, and they threw a 4-pack of their, this is too fitting. I didn't even realize what the name of this beer was.
What is it?
This is their Okanagan Lake Cream Ale. So it may not be from the Okanagan. It's still got the Okanagan in its name.
Well played.
Wow, that was an accident too. Okanagan Lake Cream Ale, one of our cabin faves. Is a pre-prohibition style lagered ale. Light citrus notes and a clean malt flavor make for a refreshing beer. Best enjoyed after yard work, on the deck, or après anything. And it's 5% alcohol.
Yeah, rinse out the rest of the head from the last one. They actually have on the can a really nice map of Okanagan Lake. It's black background, just straight black background with... mildly depth charted map of the lake,
like a topo map kind of thing.
Yeah, a topo map, but just with depths and I don't know what the correct term for that is.
I don't know. This one's not super clear, but it's just like an unfiltered beer.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call it hazy so much as you're right, unfiltered.
Nose is really grainy, a little bit sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, very grainy, very, actually weirdly untoasted grain. Like, I'm not sure that's part of the grain bill, but that's what I'm getting off the nose.
Hmm. Sort of a citrusy, lemony flavor. A little bit of grain. Sweetness.
Almost makes me think of a super mild sour, weirdly enough.
Interesting.
Like, just on the citrus notes.
Okay. I'm not getting anything sour, per se, at all, but...
No, no, it's not sour. Like, I'm not getting, like, the acid that would make it sour, but the very lemony note I'm getting.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's not, like, orange citrus. It's definitely more like a lemony citrus, for sure. But it's an easy, easy drinking beer.
Yeah, that's real clean. Like, that is smooth and light. It's got some nice flavor to it, but it's not going to demand too much of it. Like, they're right. Grab it on the deck after you've had a long day fixing something. It'd be pretty good.
Yeah. You know, it's not the kind of beer that I grab that often, but this has enough flavor for me to be interested, not like a Yellow Fizzy Lager for me. This has still got something going on.
Right, this isn't particularly boring. It's not like super complex. It's not, you're not going to sit there sipping and thinking, but
yeah,
it's also not going to bore you.
Yeah, your average lager drinker could still enjoy this, but also someone who likes more complex beer can still enjoy this too.
Gateway beer, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm. Well-made gateway beer. And for people that don't know, A-Frame makes good beer, and they got a really cool taco truck right now outside of their brewery, and they've got a nice big patio. Well, not big, but they got a nice patio with some like propane fire rings. So I know a lot of people just go to Backcountry Brewing and they're great, but sometimes, you know, swing down to A-Frame too, because tacos are great too.
Definitely worth it. Also, Squamish is not as far as you think.
No, it is not. As long as there's no accidents on the freeway. Yes. It's about 40 minutes-ish yes. from Vancouver. All right. Well, like we like to end our episodes these days, what was your favorite beer of the bunch?
Let me just take a look at the cans there. I think I got to say the Neighborhood Brewing Way of Life. That was really good.
I think I'll probably agree with you on that. I really like the Hibiscus Blonde, which is weird for me to say blonde, but it's really well done. It's got a lot of flavors. I like hibiscus as a flavor in beer. But I think that Neighborhood beer is just a little more interesting. It's just, it's got a lot going on for a more basic New England IPA.
Absolutely, and it's the one that I kind of want to grab a couple of most. Like the others, I'm happy I had them. I'm really, really pleased with all of them. They're all very good, but that's the one that makes me kind of want to go, yeah, I can have a 4-pack of that.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll close this episode out then. So thanks for tuning in. If you want to find us on the internet, go to pacificbeerchat.com or find Pacific Beer Chat on any social media. You can support us at Patreon. patreon.com/pacificbeerchat, and shout out to our Patreon supporters, Steve across from me,
hey,
and the Indie Beer Show out of San Diego, which we will be doing a crossover episode.
Cheers.
It's either coming or already out depending when this comes out. So thanks for tuning in.
Cheers. I gotta go piss in the woods.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.